Good morning, Dominican. You are listening to Dominican radio.dominican.edu with DJ Beadle, and this is 49ers Live with DJ Beadle. It is 11 a.m. on this nice morning here at Dominican, and things are looking pretty good for the San Francisco 49ers. I just want to, you know, go right into it right now. So far this season has had some high points and some very low points. The current record of the team is 3-2, and they are coming off a huge win on this nationally televised Sunday Night Football game, which was a very impressive victory over the Houston Texans, who were also 2-2, who were just coming off of a loss against the Seattle Seahawks. But the 49ers really showed up to play this week, and it was an improvement from even the week before against the Rams, and a huge improvement from the games that they lost against the Colts and the Seahawks. The team, it looks like they're finding some type of communication with each other. It doesn't look unbalanced. It looks like, I mean, I'm going to say that the offense isn't doing as well as they could be in many ways. There's still a lot of improvement, I think, on that end, but the defense has been doing very well. And the last two games, they've only given up 14 points, which is pretty impressive. And yeah, I'm just going to go right into things. Many people were wondering how this game would, you know, end up, what the results would be, because the two teams looked pretty evenly matched. They were both 2-2, and Houston was a playoff team last year, as well as the 49ers, so it didn't look like it was going to be as lopsided as it was. So the 49ers had just come off of a 35-11 Thursday night victory against the St. Louis Rams, in which they broke their two-game winning streak. And the 49ers haven't looked like the team they were predicted to be this season in the five games they have played because of the tough losses they have had. But it does look like they have been bouncing back, and it's been so far so good. The most impressive thing, in my opinion, would be just the start of the game. It started off with an interception, and it was the first 49er points of the game. It just started off 7-0, just like that. And it was definitely a way to put a tone into the game. The 49ers really set the tone, and it definitely, right when you do that, it makes the crowd get into the game more and more. And it was something that the 49ers hadn't really been doing as much. So I saw that there was a lot of attack, and it just looked like the defense just really just came together. It was Tremaine Brock's interception that started off the game and to make it 7-0. And after that, it pretty much continued to be just 49ers pounding points on the board against the Houston Texans. They were kind of ruthless. But looking at this 34-3 victory, one would think that the offense came up huge in the game, but that's not really how it happened. It was definitely a defensive effort from the 49ers. Kaepernick was 6 for 15 for 113 yards. And if the game had been lost by the 49ers, I think that Kaepernick would be getting a lot harsher reviews. He did struggle a little bit in this game. Most of his yardage came in the first quarter. I think four of his completions did. Yeah, four of his completions came in the first quarter. And he wasn't, you know, really completing a whole bunch of passes. He threw for one touchdown to Vernon Davis, which was pretty impressive. But on the offensive side, Gore did come up with 81 yards and a touchdown from 17 carries. And it was impressive to see the 49ers come back home from a road win and, you know, really change how they played from the Colts game. It was something that all of America saw. And the last time they were playing on national TV, it was against the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday Night Football, where, you know, it was a different story. Kaepernick wasn't playing at all, and the defense wasn't playing very well either, allowing 29 points. So this was, it just looks like this 49er team is going in the right direction from what they were playing before. And I feel like even though the Seahawks and the Texans are two completely different teams, obviously, I would say that the Seahawks are a much tougher opponent, it's still two straight wins for the 49ers. It's going in the right direction. I see improvement, especially on the defensive side. It looks like the offense is converting on third down, and it does feel like the defense is the offense is staying on the field a little bit longer for the defense, which is really key. I said that before. I think that the offense, the three and outs are really not good for the defensive side for the 49ers. When a team keeps putting their defense on the field more and more, the defense is going to get worn down, and that's what it looked like in the two losses so far this season. So I definitely see improvement there as well. But yeah, on Sunday night's game, there were some huge plays, like the interception to start off the game, and then that huge touchdown by Vernon Davis from Kaepernick, which was big. And I'm going to take a quick break right now, and then when we get back, I will be going into more detail, of course, into the game analysis, doing some more player analysis. And you are listening to radio.dominican.edu, 49ers Live with DJ Beadle. We will be back very quickly.
True. not long ago. I was inside your downward spiral, dying slow, distracted life. Keep it all bound, deserted, not another soul around. Fair weather friends, convenience friends, and keep it, keep all
of your... We are back here at 49ers Live with TJ Beto. It is 11:11 right now, so that is a time where anybody can make a wish. Huh. So back to the game between the 49ers and the Houston Texans. After the game, quarterback Matt Schaub from the Houston Texans said that the team has hit rock bottom, and he knows that. So does their head coach. He just went ahead and said it. Schaub still has his starting job for now anyways. That was a controversy for the team, whether or not he was going to keep playing, starting. And the Texans, yeah, after this game, had their third straight defeat, and they pretty much said, we need to get better and better fast. It looked like the 49ers really have taken out a team's motivation. It shows that they, by this huge win, it kind of takes away the spirit of the Texans. And I see that this could be huge if the 49ers beat the Seahawks later in the season, because it looked kind of like when the 49ers did lose to Seattle, it did take the motivation out of the team when they came back to play the Colts. It was kind of like they lost their spirit. And I think that I would say the biggest game in the season that's left is the Seattle Seahawks game. It is going to be a good game in San Francisco, because both teams are still in the hunt to win the NFC West. And of course, Arizona is 2 as well. I believe they're 3-2. Who the 49ers are playing next week. But the 49ers, yeah, are definitely a huge contender. And like I said, the Seahawks game is very important. And the way that they took out the Texans was very impressive. And after, you know, press releases where Schaub is saying that, you know, the whole, you know, all the mistakes are on me, and he took out, you know, the 49ers took off a top-ranked defense as well. The Houston's defense is very strong, so that was impressive. The 49ers are ranked 3rd in their pass defense, and that they really stepped up. Schaub did throw for 173 yards, but he was 19 for 35, so he didn't complete everything. So the pass defense was strong for the 49ers. And going back to the Texans defense, Houston wasn't really able to keep the 49ers out of the end zone early. And that's once, like I said earlier, the momentum really switched to the 49ers side. Once you're trailing 21-0 at halftime, it's hard to bounce back from that. And Houston wasn't able to keep the 49ers out of the end zone even in the first minutes of the game. The huge interception was, you know, what really set the tone of the game. And after that, they kept scoring more and more. For the offensive side, the Kaepernick, like I said, he threw for 113 yards, and the majority of that came from the touchdown throw to Vernon Davis, which was 64 of the yards. But, you know, it didn't matter, obviously, because of the defense stepping up. The 49ers wide receivers struggled to get open for Cap. They did create running lanes up the middle for Frank Gore, and he led some solid runs. And that's what the 49ers really need to work the running game, because that's also very important. They need to prevent, you know, these – they're struggling with the pass, obviously, with offense. You know, receivers aren't getting open for Kaepernick, and that's something they need to improve on. But they also have Gore to go to, which is huge for the run, and that could keep the team's offense on the field longer, keeping them, like, scoring points, getting more yardage per game. Because if you look at this game, Schwab threw for more yards than Kaepernick did, and it was still 34-3. So like I said, if Kaepernick would have gotten a lot more criticism if the 49ers did not win this game, because he was not throwing for, you know, a huge amount of yards. And yeah, Matt Schwab's game was, he was completing passes, but the worst part of it was because of his performance was the worst part of his performance was the interceptions. He kept throwing pick after pick, and that one was picked off for a touchdown. And that was, I think, from the start, you know, it showed him on the sidelines, and it just looked like he was really upset by the way he played. And it looked like it took a lot out of the team from the start. But on the 49er side of the ball, like I said, Gore did well, and the 49ers looked okay on offense. And it really, the way they scored their points though was through the defense, and that was the most impressive part of the game, because last season the 49ers defense really was what in my opinion got them to the Super Bowl, and it's something that they really need to keep going. You know, they have to have that strong defense. If they're giving up 30 points a game, it's going to be hard for them to win games against some of these tough NFL opponents. And I feel like the defense has won a lot of games for them in the recent past. And when, like earlier this season, when they were giving up a lot of points, it really was hard for them to win games, and it showed because they didn't. So if the defense keeps playing well, I think that will be a huge part of the 49ers' success this season. The special teams did pretty well, and the coaching was from Jim Harbaugh looked pretty well. They looked pretty well prepared for the Texans offense, which features, you know, some deep passes from Schwab. And, you know, Schwab was unable to beat them with the long ball. Houston didn't have a completion that was longer than 19 yards. The 49ers often dropped an extra defender into the box. And offensive coordinator Greg Roman had a nice mix of calls on the first TD drive, which was also huge for the momentum of the game. And then for the special teams, Spillman set the tone for this group by forcefully dropping Houston's Keyshawn Martin at the 16-yard line on the opening kickoff. Spillman combined with Nate Stupar on another kickoff stop, which forced the Texans to stop another drive at their 9. Kyle Williams averaged 14 yards on 2 punt returns, and Andy Lee averaged 48 yards on 4 punts. The Texans started their average drive on their 21-yard line, which is impressive for the 49ers, it looked like they were trying to play the field position game, you know, which is huge. You want to put them back as far as you can. When teams play the field position game, they definitely score more points and obviously do better. The 49ers entered tied for 27th in the NFL in turnover margins. And it obviously that didn't show in the last game because Brock set the tone with this with his pick for 6 on the third play of the game. And Michael Willoit did a fair impression of Patrick Willis with 11 tackles, including 3 for a loss. And overall, for to focus in on each part of special teams, defensive, offense, that's what I think. And a lot of criticism has been, you know, said because Kaepernick only had 6 completions. But next week, you know, it's a different story. They have the Cardinals here, and I think that they are going to do very well against the Arizona Cardinals. It's a second straight home game. They're building more and more momentum coming off a win from the Rams and the Texans. And we are going to take another quick break here and talk a little bit more about the 49ers, about fun things like the new stadium and jersey sales and a whole bunch of stuff. So please stay tuned. It is 11:22 and we will be back shortly. We are back here at 49ers Live, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. It is 11:25 a.m., and I had just finished talking about the last game, the 34-3 win over the Houston Texans. going over the defensive, offensive, special teams, coaching, all around, and a pretty good performance from the 49ers. Like I said, the criticism has been coming from the offensive side. Kaepernick not only throwing for one touchdown, not completing enough passes, not, you know, bringing up the yards for the team, not producing a really good offense overall in that game. But looking at week 6 against the Cardinals, both teams are 3-2, and the early lines have come out, and the San Francisco's 49ers are installed as 11-point favorites against the Cardinals. The 49ers were touchdown favorites over the Texans, but that line came down to 4.5 points, as most people figured the Texans had a little more fight in them, and that didn't turn out to be the case. The 49ers and the Cardinals are both tied at 3-2 and a game behind the Seattle Seahawks, who did lose against the Colts. And so it is proving that the 49ers loss to the Colts is not, you know, an embarrassment, because the Colts did beat the Seattle Seahawks, who obviously were playing extremely well. And the 49ers now have gained a game on the Seahawks, which is really big in the division race, because the Seahawks were leading the race by two games, and now they are not. They are now 4-1, so the 49ers only one game behind them. And so are the Cardinals. So the 49ers and Cardinals are both 3-2, and it is safe to say that odd makers and the public that is betting all view these teams as a little bit different. The Cardinals are coming off of two wins, winning 13-10 at Tampa Bay and 22-6 at home against Carolina. Arizona is built around a strong defense, but the offense remains a question mark, as does the 49ers. They seem to be fine. The Cardinals seem to be going in the right direction, obviously, with the two wins, and that's probably why they... Well, actually, 11-point favorites, that's not saying too much about the Arizona Cardinals. That's a pretty big margin for them to be down by. For now, I do think the 49ers can cover that 11-point spread at home, but the Cardinals aren't a pushover. I think that their defense against the 49ers offense will be interesting to watch. They can win games in spite of Carson Palmer, and if he plays even decent, they can become a dangerous team. They were, you know, really crushed by the New Orleans Saints, but we obviously know that the Saints offense is bringing something a lot more consistent to the table than like the 49ers are. The Saints are undefeated, and so that's another game that the 49ers might struggle with down the line, because the Saints are very dangerous and have been a decent team. They didn't make the playoffs last year, but the year before, that huge battle against them was obviously a good one. So I think that will be a good game to look forward to. That is going to be played in New Orleans. But going back to the Cardinals, if the Cardinals defense can play, this will be a bigger test than some might care to admit and acknowledge. The 49ers and the Cardinals are division rivals, obviously, and this might be a good game to look forward to next week. I think that the 49ers do need to win this game, because they do need to win their games at home, because their road team, the teams they're playing on the road, do look pretty challenging. I touched on it a little bit last week, and I think that the hardest opponent they have would be the undefeated New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. That looks like it will be a challenging game to win. But they also have a lot of easy games. When the 49ers were talked about after that harsh Colts loss at home, people were looking at them and saying, well, what's going to happen next? Well, let's look at their schedule. And most teams do get to beat up on the Jacksonville Jaguars. That game is being played on the road, but that should be, you know, a team they can easily beat. They have a rematch against the Seahawks, like I said, which is, in my opinion, a must-win game. They have the Rams at home again, which I think is a win that they should get, which they probably will get. They have the Atlanta Falcons, who were expected to do well this season, but have not. So that should be a win for them because that's played at home on Monday night. That's a good game to look forward to. The Falcons have already lost 4 games this season, lost last night to the Jets. So they're not doing too well either. The Redskins are looking okay, but that's definitely a team that they can beat on the road. And then they have, obviously, another game against the Cardinals on the road. And we'll see how that matchup goes next week. It was, in my opinion, a little surprising that the Texans just kind of let the 49ers run all over them on defense and score as many points as they did, because the Texans were expected to be a pretty big contender in the AFC this season. They were a playoff team coming off of last year. And so it's kind of like I'm looking at the game as, was this were the 49ers just really good, or were the Texans just really bad? Because if the 49ers just were really good, then this season, you know, will look like last season's, and it will be fun to watch. Going back to their schedule right now, they have the Panthers at home, which should be a win, I'm expecting. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road. That should be an interesting game as well. And so right now I'm expecting them to win at least 6 more games. I think that they do have the potential to do that. It's obviously not all on the quarterback to produce points, but it is a huge part of the game. And I think if Kaepernick if he improves, it's going to bring the team together more. And it's all about that team unity, the offense working with the defense to produce points. And on the defensive side of the ball, it just looked really good on Sunday night. They were just, you know, producing the team's points pretty much, you know, making all those turnovers. And that's what really stood out in the game. And the 49ers, once they get that cycle going with the offense and the defense both producing points, essentially, that will make the, you know, the team's team camaraderie and just get it going for the team. I think that will be very, very fun to watch if they get that going. And they have their bye in between the Jaguar game and the Panther game, that 1 week bye. And they also have the Titans on the road, so I definitely see that as a game they could for sure win. And it's looking like like I said earlier, that Seattle game on December 8th, that would be a really good game to go to. And so I think that would be probably the most, like, the game to watch this season for the 49ers. And looking into the farther run of things, they could be, if they keep their play going, make it back to where they were last year with being that Super Bowl team. And yeah, it looks like things are going to be fun to watch. I'm going to take another quick break here, and we will be back here at 49ers Live. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu, and we will be back here shortly.
You We're Ross the Four Eye.
The capacity grows as the first seats go in, which is very, very. Most people know that the 49ers Stadium, that this revealing of the Santa Clara Stadium, Levi's Stadium, this is the farewell season to Candlestick Park. And I said last week about how Candlestick has gained a lot of criticism over the years, you know, because it was built on the bay and it's always been extremely cold out there, and it's never been pleasant to watch either baseball or football out there. And the 49ers have made a lot of history there, though, a site for some historical moments, like one of them being the catch in the 1981 season, Joe Montana to Dwight Clark. That would be, you know, a play that will be remembered forever. And of course, that was at Candlestick Park. And Candlestick Park has been, you know, it has been home to the Beatles having their last concert there in 1966. Pope John Paul II said Mass there, and he cruised the field in a Pope Mobile, and the Mass was seen in front of 70,000 people. So even though the park has been really good recognition over the years, I think that fans will miss the team being in San Francisco. They will miss being able to just drive 5 minutes to the games. Santa Clara is 45 minutes to an hour. There is, of course, could be traffic a lot of the time. And it won't feel the same because the team won't be in San Francisco anymore like they have been for so long. And it will feel different. But for this new Santa Clara Stadium, capacity grows as the first seats go in. The 49ers are installing the first seats at the new team stadium, and it turns out there will be more room for fans than previously thought. Project officials revealed that the expected capacity at Levi Stadium will be between 69,000 and 70,000, up from the long-planned estimate of 68,000. Construction supervisors on the ground said they were able to find space sprinkled around the stadium to squeeze in some extra seats without changing the stadium's layout or structure. The Santa Clara Stadium will double the overall size of Candlestick Park. And most people know that Candlestick Park is a pretty big stadium, so this will be something to look forward to. And going back to the new stadium, it will be expected to be about 75,000 seats, and it will average most like other NFL stadiums. And what's the most exciting part, I would say, is it's going to be hosting the 2016 Super Bowl, which is something to really look forward to. And going back to other NFL team stadiums, the Giants and the Jets play in New Jersey. I know that's one example. So the 49ers aren't the only team that doesn't play in their respected cities. And so going back to the new stadium, the team held a ceremony to formally install the first of the 57,000 plastic red seats that will fill out the upper deck and the bulk of the lower bowl. Fremont resident Miranda Marshaman and her son Steven bought the licenses for $6,000 each to the first seats installed. That's an interesting fact. The seats near the 10-yard line are in the sections 134, row 9, 5, and 6 seats. So it looks like the stadium has more levels than Candlestick did. It has that, you know, nice glass like club seating. And the prices, though, are pretty steep. It's looking like seat licenses run between $2,000 to $80,000 in one-time costs, plus $850 to $3,750 for season tickets each year. Nearly 90% have been sold, though. So that is a lot of, there are a lot of rich 49er fans, because these tickets look like they're going to be very expensive. But I also wanted to talk about an interesting thing I read online about how the 49ers have been dominating the Houston Texans. Well, I read this week. They've been dominating the Texans in jersey sales. It looked like Forbes magazine said that it looked like it was going to be an evenly matched game, but it obviously wasn't. So they weren't, you know, predicting the game to go as it was either. But when it comes down to jersey sales of the key players on each side of the ball, the competition appears to be much lopsided. The 49ers' Colin Kaepernick has the number 10 best-selling player jersey over the past 7 days nationwide at Dick's Sporting Goods. And so that's maybe it might be a little surprising, because, you know, Kaepernick hasn't been playing like he has last season. And going back to the game, as Kaepernick's playing, it just shows that his last season recognition is, I think, turning into sales for the team this year. Last season he was such an explosive player, completing so many passes and, you know, producing so many touchdowns for the team, and the offense was really thriving. And I think that's, people want to see that this season, and they want to see that, bring that out of him. And it looks like, maybe, is it Kaepernick, or is it, you know, some key injuries that's not really having him produce the game that he wants to produce? Going back to the jersey sales, over the past 7 days, the 49ers also have the number 10 best-selling jersey on the defensive side of the ball, with linebacker Patrick Willis. But the Houston Texans, you know, failed to have a single player in the top 10 jersey sales on offense. Defense are among rookies. So it just shows that the 49ers have that star power, that star national, you know, they're kind of a gem team. And you would expect that they would do well in sales like this, because they are coming off of a Super Bowl they had just played in last season. And the fan base, you know, is growing and growing even more than it has in the past. And it looks like the 49ers, like I said throughout the show, it's looking good right now. It's right direction. Arizona next week. And the Cardinals are kind of a mystery team in a sense, because we don't really know how they're going to produce what they're going to do on offense against the San Francisco defense. It could go either way. I do think that Patrick Willis is having a good season, and the defense pretty much has been carrying, well, at least in the last game and the game before, the defense carried the team a lot. And the most impressive game so far for Kaepernick would be the Ram game, where he produced most of the, you know, 49ers offensive points. And hopefully, I think we're still early into the season. There's still 11 more games left to play, and there's still so much time for improvement for Kaepernick. He's definitely someone that people are really looking to, you know, bring back the 49ers to their glory days. It was Alex Smith before, but obviously he's now gone. So it's kind of like the pressure is on Kaepernick to keep producing that 49er team to good things, to keep winning games, to do well. And so the pressure's on for him. I'm going to take another quick break right now, and we will be back to finish up the show and talk a little bit more about the 49ers and some injuries. And yeah, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu, 49ers Live with DJ Beadle. We will be back shortly. We are back here at 49ers Live, and I wanted to finish up the show a little bit with some big topics, the main four topics that analysts are talking about the team, and wanted to just go through a rundown of what I've said. You know, I've repeated a lot of key facts that need to improve for the team and things that the team is doing well on. A defensive injury. The 49ers defense might have suffered another key loss as defensive tackle Ray McDonald went out with a right bicep injury. McDonald said after the game that he felt a sting. He will have an MRI Monday. Tony Jared Eddy replaced McDonald. The 49ers defense has suffered several injuries playing the past two games without all-pro linebacker Aldon Smith and Patrick Willis. You know, that's been a huge loss. I said that Patrick Willis in the beginning of the season was playing well, but now that he is injured, it's obviously a huge loss. And he's been, you know, the key player, you know, the heart of the 49ers defense over, you know, last season for sure. And San Francisco has been dominant without the two stars, allowing 14 points in the last two games. But the 49ers might have to adjust again if McDonald is out. So that has to be done. Tremaine Brock is one of the many depth players who is getting an opportunity on defense. And he is crashing in, having a huge game against the Texans. On the third offensive play on the game Sunday, he returned an interception for 18 yards. It was the first of his two interceptions, in the game. Brock took over as the number three cornerback last week when Nahamdi Asmuga went out with a knee injury. He played well against the Rams. Now it is highly unlikely Muga gets his jaw back. It will be interesting what the 49ers will do with the 32-year-old fourth cornerback right now. The 49ers' focus is on Brock. And going back to what I've been talking about a lot is Kaepernick manages game. Okay, so the 49ers scored 34 points, but Kaepernick only completed 6 passes. It didn't really matter because the 49ers defense did dominate the game. But will they be able to keep doing that as the season progresses? Probably not. They're going to need Kaepernick to come up and make the big plays. Kaepernick will not have Josh Freeman as his backup. The former Tampa Bay starter has agreed to terms with the Vikings. The 49ers reportedly talked to Freeman. It's no surprise. The 49ers like quarterbacks, and Freeman would have been an upgrade as a backup over Colt McCoy and newly signed John Skelton. But Freeman's road to playing is shorter in Minnesota. So the backup position for the 49ers quarterback is, you know, a little up in the air. So focus is on Kaepernick. He needs to keep producing good solid numbers. And as going back to the run game, the running game set a tone. The 49ers run game continued to shine against the Texans. The 49ers called and designed a run play on 67% of their plays Sunday, according to ESPN. And it's sort of like, why not, you know, play the run game? If it's working, it's working. Keep producing yards on that part of offense. Keep, you know, driving, keep giving it to Gore. Gore's obviously getting older, but his play, that's not really showing in his play. He's doing well on, you know, driving the ball through gaps, getting yards. You know, it's been fun to watch. And so the 34-3 victory was a huge step in the right direction for the team. Like I said, the Arizona Cardinals are coming here next week, and that will be a very interesting game to watch. And that's going to be a division game for the San Francisco 49ers. And the obviously the Cardinals are could be a threat too with a 3-2 record, the same as the 49ers. So we'll see how that goes. I think that would be, if the 49ers were to win, it would make it would set the tone in the NFC West as showing that the 49ers, wow, they can beat the Rams, they can beat the Cardinals. And it's kind of like saying, like, bring on the Seahawks. Like, we're not worried at all. And that would be a huge win, obviously. And, yeah, I would basically say it's focuses on Kaepernick to improve on the offensive side of the ball, to keep trying to throw for more completions, try to keep passing to key players. You know, Vernon Davis is huge for the offense. And basically, I would say that is a wrap here this week in this impressive 49er win against the Houston Texans. There is, of course, so much more to talk about this season, and I'm still extremely excited to keep doing that with you guys, the listeners of radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio. It is going to be a very exciting season, and you know, I've only gotten to talk about 2 weeks of it. Well, two weeks into the season. So there's still so much to go over, so much to talk about. And DJ Blitz and Smooth are in the studio right now, so I'm going to wrap this show up. And thank you so much for listening. It's been a great week. And till next time, thank you. 49ers Live out.